Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Again on tonight. Yes, this is Saturday night, October the 14th, 2017. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. So I'm asking all listeners at this time, as I always do, please get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, as he delivers God's word on tonight. We know that the enemy is trying to interrupt this broadcast on tonight, but we know that he is already defeated in the name of Jesus. But as we say, Deacon Marvin Cox is our man of the hour for tonight. He's going to deliver God's word again, as always, every second Thursday and every second Deacon Marvin Cox come to us delivering God's word, and he also shares a poem. So he's going to share a poem with us first, then he's going to go right into word after our music break. But before we go any further, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, we come once again to say thank you for this another day that you have made. We come to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and all that you are. We just bless your name on today because we know that you are worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we come seeking and asking your forgiveness of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself, and then also include my entire family, and also Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family. And Heavenly Father, all those that are being doers of your word all over the land without hidden motives or agendas. You know who we are, and you know where we are. So we ask that you will continue to move by your spirit through each one of us, that we will continue to fulfill our God purpose in the earth as you use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy on tonight. Heavenly Father, we know that we don't deserve neither one, but we thank you for your agape love. You're not like man. You're not fickle. You don't say you love us one minute, then you can't stand us the next. Your love is genuine and is always. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love us, but you do not love sin. But we thank you that we have an advocate, your son, Jesus Christ, whom we can come to and go through and ask to be forgiven of our sins and transgressions so that we can fulfill our God purpose. So we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for, again, your grace and your mercy toward each one of us on tonight. in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come right now lifting up all those that may be tuned in on tonight who do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. We pray, Lord, that something will be said on tonight or done, that their spiritual blinded eyes will be open, that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be forgiven of their sins and transgressions, and they will at the same time ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And then once they're saved, they will come to know their God purpose. They will fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up the sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. And also we come lifting up all those that are bereaved, all those that have been affected by the different hurricanes and fires and or tornadoes and different hate groups and everything that's not of you, that's not of love, that's not of God, that's going on in earth, Heavenly Father. We know that you are a comforter. We know that people are losing loved ones left and right in all sorts of ways and manners. But we know that you are our comforter. You are our strength and our peace and our joy, and even in the midst of losing loved ones. So, Heavenly Father, I ask and pray along with the listeners that you would comfort and strengthen those that are have lost loved ones on tonight. As only you can, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We lift up our president and all world leaders all over the land, that you would touch them, Heavenly Father, that they would continue to be able to hear you, Heavenly Father, that they would, as they pray, that you will be able to hear their prayers and honor their prayers so that they will be able to do what's right for all people all over the land, that you will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now we come, Heavenly Father, asking that you would touch and anoint Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver your word on tonight, that we will be built up, strengthened, and edified through the word on tonight as you use Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight through the poem and also through your word. So right now we just give your name praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, because you alone, you are worthy to be praised. And right now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow in every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name all over the land. Move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, have your way, that many souls will be saved, as our prayer in Jesus' name, that you will be glorified. And then we, last but least of all, we lift up Israel and Jerusalem to you, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in Jerusalem, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer, and that your will be done in each one of our lives, that you will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Well, we have another spiritual food for thought for tonight. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, a church can have all of the programs in the world, but if people are not changing, all you have is religion or a show on Sunday. That's deep, but it's sad, and it's also true at the same time. So I'm going to re-stress that again. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, a church can have all the programs in the world, but if people are not changing, all you have is religion or a show on Sunday. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassador vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcements, I only have one for tonight. And again, I'm re-stressing that I am so happy and proud of what God is doing through my youngest sister, Danetta Burney. She has written a gospel stage play titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. And it will be taking place on Saturday, November the 11th at 7 p.m. at Impact Church, which is in Detroit, is on the east side of Detroit, in Detroit, Michigan. Again, the title of the upcoming gospel stage play that the Lord has blessed my younger sister to write is titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. And again, it will be taking place on Saturday, November the 11th at 7 p.m. at Impact Church on the east side of Detroit. Impact Church is located, the address is 12844, again, 12844 Elmdale Street. That's on the east side of Detroit. For those of you that are in the Michigan area or Indiana or Chicago area that's going to be in Detroit around that time, tickets are available now. You can start purchasing your tickets through. They are available at Impact Church. at God's World Bible Bookstore on West 7 Mile Road in Detroit, and also through Eventbrite.com. Those are the locations where you can start purchasing your tickets now for the play. Some of the cast members are well-known evangelist, music artist Peggy James, and choir director, also musical artist Gerard Brooks, minister Ron Todd, also he's a musical artist, minister Ron Todd, and also Eric Dion, he's a musical artist. These are some of the cast members, well-known cast members that are part of this play. There are other members in this play as well, but these are some of the well-known cast members that are taking part of this play. So we're inviting everyone to come out and take part of this play and be blessed by it, because through this play, God has been going to be glorified. Families are going to be mended back together, marriages, communities, even churches, even the nations are going to be brought back together through this play. Again, it's titled Opposite Ends of the Bridge. You do not want to miss it. You want to be blessed by it. And if you cannot not attend, if you want to be a blessing to someone else, you can purchase a ticket and give it to someone else and be a blessing to someone else, that God would be glorified. So those are the announcements that I have for tonight. So right now I am getting ready to go into our music break. Following the music break, Deacon Marvin Cox is going to come forth with to us, and he's going to share a poem. As he always do, God has anointed him to write such eloquent poems that are blessing and that are encouraging and uplifting to the body of Christ, to the believers. And not only to the believers, but to anyone that reads his poem, they are very inspiring. And so we're going to hear a poem from Deacon Marvin Cox after the music break. And following his poem, he was going to directly into God's word on tonight. So I do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he deliver God's word on tonight. But first, we're going to go into our music break. And for such a time as this, we know that we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for our world leaders, our pastors, our ministries, our churches, our families, our neighborhoods, our school children that they go and come from school. We just need to be praying one for another. The word of God tells us that we are to watch as well as pray. So we just thank God that he's in total control no matter what it looks like. And we know that God has all power in his hands. So right now I'm asking that you would enjoy this musical selection. Pray for me. And once this is over, we will come back and I will yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox to share his poem. And then he's going to go directly into the word of God on tonight.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. We sing in need of prayer. Come on, open your mouth, everybody, and sing prayer.
Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. He said in this song, it's an urgent request. And yes, it is. It is an urgent request that we need to be getting down on our knees, asking and seeking God's help and for direction, because the Word of God tells us that we perish for the lack of knowledge. And he also tells us in the Word of God that if my people, which are called by my name, but humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal the land. So that's why I believe that we are seeing all the different things that's going on in the world today. The handwriting is on the wall that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. God is not pleased with the way man is doing things. He's not pleased with some of the men and women that are so-called called of God. Not all, because we do know that have been called by God are standing on his word without hidden motives or agendas. But God sees everything. He's not like man. He searches the heart. So he knows who's are sheep and wolves clothing. He knows who are trying to scatter his flock. And so he is not pleased with the way things are being done, the way the church, and we are the church, those who are saved. And he is not pleased with the way that some of us have lack of compassion for others, and a whole lot of other things that he's not pleased with man with on today. So I believe that he's trying to get mankind's attention, and that's why I believe that he's allowing these different things to happen. God do not cause these things to happen, but sometimes he will allow things to happen to draw us back to him. So that's what I believe that's going on today. So that's why he said we are to watch as well as pray, but then we need to be praying one for another. So that's why I played that musical selection, Pray For Me. So we need to be praying for our nation, our world, one for another. So right now, I am yielding the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, as he's going to come forth and share his poem with us first, and then directly after his poem, he is going to go directly into the Word of God on tonight. And again, I pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he comes to us right now. Deacon Marvin Cox, I am yielding the mic to you to deliver your poem and also to deliver God's Word.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God my Father, to all of God's listeners, not my listeners, but God's listeners. Tonight's poem is to let people know who are struggling when it seems like you can't get a breakthrough. It's called The Best You Can, and I hope that this will give you some relief for whatever situation you might be going through. And I'm more than sure that a lot of us can identify with this very poem. Thank the Lord for giving it to me to give it to you. When the best you can isn't good enough and your life comes apart at the seams, after giving your all in all, you still stumble and fall. That's not the end of your dreams. When your heart deceives you and loved ones leave you, and all of your faith and hope is gone, Jesus is that friend who will stay to the end, and he will never leave you alone. When your light grows dim, just trust in him, and he will brighten your day. It's not as hard as you think, and before you can blink, Jesus will lead you the way. Troubles may come and troubles may go, but why do mine have to last so long? In case you haven't heard, it says in God's word that the weak say that I'm strong. When your money is tight and you're arguing fight, looking for someone to blame, just hold your ground and don't leave ground. Don't leave town. Hard times just selected your name. Don't be sad, don't be blue. God is only using you. Someone who Satan can't stop. What you lost, he'll restore and give you so much more and take you all the way to the top. While doing the best that you can, you will come short of your plan. It will make you holler, scream, and yelp. The reason you failed and your loved ones bailed is because you tried to do it without God's help. Amen. Just remember that God is willing to help you in your dilemma. And the things that you try to do on your own, we can't do anything. Can't even blink our eyes without the help and the assistance of God. Amen. I'd like to go directly into our lesson tonight. It's a lesson of encouragement. It's a lesson that is putting us in a position to know that we must, first of all, have more patience in our administration of doing God's word. We must remember that serving the Lord is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And the reason I say it's a marathon, God's word backed me up in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 11th verse. That's where the lesson is coming from tonight. And it reads, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, I like to translate that to you. It says that the race isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but he that endureth unto the end. I've just read unto you from the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the 11th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Amen. Now, our topic for this evening is don't ever give up. And it's a reason why we shouldn't give up, because the scripture just told us that those who endure to the end, this means that you're going to go through something, means that you're going to have hardship in your life, going to have difficulties in your life. But we must learn how to endure. I said previously that serving the Lord is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And in a marathon, one thing about a marathon you must learn is that we must learn to pace ourselves. We must learn how to not burn ourselves out. And the reason I say that is because I have seen so many people come into the house of prayer, and they were extremely enthusiastic about what it was that they were doing for the Lord. I mean, they were coming to all the church meetings. They were not missing no choir rehearsals. They were going out and doing missionary work and everything. And so, and working for the Lord truly is a hectic schedule. You could find something 24 hours a day to do for the Lord. But we must learn how to, as I say, as to pace ourselves. We must learn how to keep that enthusiasm while doing what it is that we must do for the Lord. Now, there were some very important things that was pointed out. It said, the race is not to the swift. So it does not matter how fast you can run. And if you notice, those that run swiftly, they tire out very, very quickly. So we've got to learn how to pace ourselves in the name of the Lord, because the Lord is not going to give us an assignment or something to do for him that is going to wear us out. Say, nor the battle to the strong. If you don't believe me, I'd like for you to research David and Goliath. Now, Goliath was feared by many, many people. He was big, and he was strong. But when he went up against that little old ruddy fella by the name of David, he lost. So we know that no matter how strong you are, no matter how much strength you have, we're talking about physical strength here. We're not talking about spiritual strength. But no matter how much physical strength you have, you exert a whole lot of energy sometimes in doing nothing. And it also said, nor bread to the wise. Now, some things we try to, you know, we try to do things for our body, put bread. But see, this bread that I'm talking about is just the bread of life. Because there are so many people, wise people, that are hungry, that are in poverty, that are then famished because of they're not getting the proper nutrition by reading God's word. They have not put themselves in that position to be a recipient of it. Nor riches to the intelligent. Now, just look at that for 1 minute. Saying no matter how smart you are, that's going to be no compensation for you, no riches. I don't care how smart you are. If you're not rich in the spirit, then I count that as being poor. So it does not make any difference of what your intelligence level is, of what your IQ is. It says that it's not the riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. And see, it is a difference between intelligence and knowledge. See, knowledge is to know and to be completely aware of. Intelligence is a certain amount of intellect that you have accumulated over the years by knowing science and knowing this and knowing that. But see, if you don't know God, you don't know anything. You can look out into the constellations and tell people about the zodiac and tell people about how to dissect this and how to dissect that, but it means nothing if you know not God. But time and chance will happen to them all. So this is saying to those who endure until the end. Now, my brothers and my sisters, as I've been telling you, we must learn how to pace ourselves. We must learn how to continuously do what it is that we need to do for the Lord without fainting, without holding back, without allowing the frustrations of our everyday life to overcome us. Now, we're going to move right over here to Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 13th verse, and I'm using these verses as backup to what I've been telling you. It said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking in red letters. He's telling us, and he's singling out that individual, that one that has been going through, how we say, I've been going through some stuff. But don't ever give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't call it quits, because your breakthrough is not far from happening. Your breakthrough is just around the bend. How many times in our life have we been impatient about something, and then we went for that offer that the demon had given us when we were waiting on something, but something else came by and it ended up being a disaster. God is letting us know that we must wait on him. We must endure. hardship the same way that he endured hardship. We must be able to brush it off, not to give up. Now we're going to move right over here to Revelation. And this is another reason that we must not ever give up. And this is about the race. This is about the swift. This is about the strong. And this is about enduring to the end. It said, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to, and this is from the ESV. It said, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulations. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That sounds like an individual. It says to the end. Be faithful to death, and we know that death is the end, but it's really the beginning. So the word of God is letting each and every last one of us know that we must be faithful unto death. But at the end of death, I will give you the crown of life. As I said, at the end, it's the end, but it's also the beginning. It said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sins which cling so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want to stop right now. I want to stop right there. Say, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, each and every last one of us have the same destination, but we got a different road that we're going to take to get to that destination. And whatever course, whatever race is set before me, the Lord is telling me to run that race with endurance, to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, if those of us who know, which I'm not going to assume that all of us know, because there could be some first-time listeners that have a curiosity about the Lord, but the pain, the grief, and all of the atrocities of the world that he endured on the cross, that he endured for each and every last one of us. Because at any time, he could have came down from that cross, but he stayed up there to endure for you, for me, for our children, for this generation, for future generations, for past generations. Now, most of us will say, I don't think I could have took that. I could not have endured that. It says, despising the shame. So he was humiliated. He was mocked. He was scorned. So the same thing is going to happen to you. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be scorned. You're going to be put to shame for the sake of the Lord, and sometimes not even for his sake. So we must learn how to endure. Don't give up. Don't ever give up if people cuss you out. Don't give up when they come in you come in their presence and it seems like they don't want to be bothered, or the whispering, and or the a full-fledged conversation turn into whispers. Don't give up, because you must endure, just as the Lord endured. He endured these things. And he endured them and was in excruciating pain, probably unimaginable to the average individual. Also, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we know where the Lord's place is. We know where he is. Said he's on the right hand of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him. so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, if I could translate that to you, my brothers and my sisters, saying that the Lord didn't give up, and he don't want you to give up. He don't want you to grow weary or faint-hearted. When you become faint-hearted, see, faint-heartedness causes an individual to withdraw from that which they have a great desire to do. We're supposed to have enthusiasm, even if it seems like there's no benefit in it at all for us. But I'm going to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, your flesh will protest. Your flesh will try to convince you that it doesn't need or you don't have to take that stuff that the people of the world today are putting out. So don't give up. Don't allow yourself to be put into that position where you just don't know. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm telling you, don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your drug abusive brother, your opioid addicted cousin. Don't give up. Because if you look in the mirror closely, you'll see yourself out there too. You'll see yourself one day when the world was going to give up on you and the Lord said, not so. The Lord said, I won't allow my child to be out there. Each and every listener out there is someone that the Lord didn't give up on, that the Lord is counting on, that the Lord died for. So my brothers and my sisters, don't give up. We have to endure these hardships. Sometimes we go through things and it seems like there's no end in sight to the misery. There's no end to the pain. There's no end to the string of bad health that sometimes we go through. So remain steadfast. It says, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So now is not the time to be weary or faint-hearted. Now we're going to move right over to Proverbs 24:10. It says, if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is small. So this is just backing up what the Lord just told us, what he just revealed. He said, if you faint, if you fall back, if you hold back, if you withdraw in the day of adversity, your strength. And see, we have to rely upon our strength. We have to rely upon our faith. Said, so there's strength, and I'm going to add your faith. It's small if you allow these things to happen. Now, I was just thinking that, as I say, with the enthusiasm that we once had when we first come into the house of prayer, we didn't miss a day. We were there before the deacons were. We were there before the janitors were. We helped them open up the church. But now we faint during times of adversity. If it's ozone, when it was 110 degrees outside, we were there. But now because your weather person is telling you that it's an ozone action day and don't fill up your car and you're on E and you don't want to take a chance to make it to the church, you say, well, it's ozone action day. I'm staying home today. They said don't fill up your tank until the sun go down. Now, these are adverse things that happen and that befall us that makes our strength and our faith small. Now, we could depend and we could trust what that weatherman said. Why can't we trust God? Why can't we endure to the end? Why can't we be wise and intelligent? Why can't we just follow up and just maintain? Why can't we stay on course? We let anything stop us from doing what it is that we need to do as far as staying on course is concerned. So my brothers and my sisters, I'm going to keep constantly telling you that don't give up. Don't give up on moving to a better house, moving to a better neighborhood. Don't give up on reconciling where it seems like the irreconcilable. Don't give up on repairing relationships. Don't give up on none of these things that we are so easily beset with. Cannot allow ourselves to give up. We are in a marathon. There's relief on the side of the road for you. There's relief, if you notice, which I mean on the side of the road. I'm talking about his churches everywhere. And those are the filling stations that we need. As we're traveling, you know, we see a stranger every now and then. But every now and then you look and you see God's service here, God's service there. A meeting here, a congregation there. So there are plenty, and those are the filling stations. If you notice, when they run in the marathons, they got the little water, or they got the relief station, where they're passing out the water, where they're passing out the refreshments, where they're passing out the Gatorade to replenish the nutrients that is left, or the nutrients that have left away from our body. Now we're going to move over here to Hebrews. I'm going to keep it moving now. We'll go over here to Hebrews 3 and 5. It said, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. Now see, Moses didn't give up. He was faithful. And we wonder what it has got to do with endurance. See, when you're faithful, you're going to be available. You're going to be there in times of stressful times. You're going to do what's necessary in order for you to progress in the name of the Lord. And we must learn how to cast all our anxieties on him, because the Lord, he cares for us. We got to know that in Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 9th verse, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So at your weakest point, don't give up. It's when you do, when you know that you're not capable of doing, that's when God gets the glory out of it. For his power is made perfect in weakness. And we go back to when he was in the desert, and he fasted 30 days, and he fasted 30 nights. I mean, excuse me, 40 days and 40 nights. And after, he was hungry. And when our flesh gets weak, when it gets hungry, when it needs to be fed, a weakness comes about. But when we resist, when we hold out to the end, when we don't give up on that which God has told us to do, that's when God's strength, his power, is made perfect. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is Paul talking. He's letting us know that God can be glorified through your weakness. But if we turn and we flee from that which he has assigned us to do, we have not endured until the end. And there are so many things out there that will make us quit, make us walk away, make us cease and desist and not carry out on something that the Lord is expecting for us to do. Now, we know when we signed up for this, that every day is not going to be just like the month of May. We know that once we begin to uplift the name of the Lord, that people, all things are going to come from you on every side that you could imagine. You got a big bullseye on your back, and the more you uplift the Lord, the larger that bullseye is going to get. But endure, my brothers and my sisters, endure until the end. Now, 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Wow, that's a toughie right there. Because sometimes it seems like the nicer you be to people, the more they get on your nerves. But see, you're not doing that for yourself. We got to remember that we sometimes are incapable of doing nice on our own. Are we born in sin and wrapped in iniquity? We come short of the glory of God. We know that all good deeds that we do, all of the nice words and kindness that come from us is initiated through God. So if you do something and you do it begrudgingly, you're not doing as God has asked us to do. Do not grow weary in well-doing. The Lord is asking us to be cheerful. They have to be cheerful in such a way that because you can do something for some an individual sometimes, and you could do it with a frown on your face, and they wish to God that you had never done it, because they can see that you're not sincere about it. But if you do it anonymously in the name of the Lord, and go on about your business, you don't have to draw no attention to yourself, but just do it and go forth in the name of the Lord. Because, see, this race is not to the swift nor the strong, but to those or the smart or the intelligent or the strong or anything like that. But those who have that ability to endure unto the end. So I'm just telling you that we must endure. We must consider that someone is watching us. Someone is waiting on us to give up so that they can say, I told you, they weren't sincere about that, no way. I told you that they wasn't, because, see, Las Vegas is betting on each and every last one of us, against every last one of us, that we're not going to make it to the finish line. And, see, that's the thing I like to say, those that endure to the end. So this is pointing us in the direction of the finish line, because it's a lot of things, and this going out to the preachers and those who is uplifting the name of the Lord. How many out there have had a project that they got in the church? I mean, we have started so many different projects, you know, fundraiser, this, that, and the other, and so forth and all. But what is music to a pastor's eyes, what would be music to the Lord's ears, is that we finished that assignment you gave us. We completed it. We made it to the finish line. Even as the Lord, as he hung, bled, and died upon the cross, and they were speaking those seven last words, even the Lord said, it is finished. So whatever it was that God had ordained him to do, his mission was complete. He endured until the end. Whatever it is that your assignment is, you must endure until the end. You're going to go through some hardship. You're going to go through some turmoil. But I'm not trying to paint a picture of doom and gloom here, because there are good days. There are good days that we experience every day. There are good times that we experience frequently. But I'm just saying that while the blood is running warm in each and every last one of our veins, it's time for us to endure, because God's power is made perfect in weakness. My brothers and my sisters, now is not the time for us to hold back. It says, James 5 and 10 says, as an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So, Brother James here is giving us an example. I mean, and every last one of us that has uplifted the name of the Lord have met some type of frustration, some type of humiliation, some type of embarrassment, even in wanting to do well for somebody when they thought and they claimed that we were no earthly good. But God's word is encouraging me. I can't speak for you, but it's encouraging me right now. It's encouraging me to continue on my journey. That it's no reason for me to stop. It's no reason for me to faint. There's no reason for me to hold back in no shape, form or fashion. I don't know about you, but my strength has been renewed today. My strength is working. And I thank God for that opportunity for me to go forth in his name and do what it is that needs to be done in his most holy name. And he will give you strength and make it to the finish line. He will do what it is that needs to be done. So now's not the time. Now I'm going to go back. I'm going to digress here momentarily. Colossians, the 7th chapter, 8th verse, says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, what God's word is letting us know here, we can't allow nobody to sap our strength. We can't allow nobody to drain us, to emotionally drain us. Don't be deceived by this. We can't allow ourselves to stop running this race, to faint, to hold back. Because if we compare ourselves to somebody else, guess what? We're not the smartest. We're not the tallest. We're not the swiftest. We're not the strongest. We're not none of those things. But when it all comes down to it, your determination, your faithfulness is what's going to get you to the finish line. Because God's word said that they had a zeal. And we know that the zeal is a great, great determination. Excitement. You know, to have zeal, you got enthusiasm, but not according to knowledge. So sometimes we have to look a little bit below the surface to really find out what it is. We got to, as they were saying, operating room, we got to go subcutaneous. We got to go a little bit below the skin to find out what's going on. But my brothers and my sisters, remain steadfast. Keep on running. Don't let nobody discontinue your race. Don't let nobody hurt, hinder, nor harm, nor talk you out of what it is that you have to do in the name of the Lord. Hebrews 6 and 12 say, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it is through your faith. And see, we know once again we talked about faith, and we know that faith is not the wishes of man, but it's the promises of God. We've got to hold on to that faith close to our heart. Revelation 3 and 12 says, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in my temple. Never shall he go out. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. So the one that conquers. In order for us to be conquerors, that means that we got to stay in the battle long enough. See, a conqueror is a winner. A conqueror is one that has endured. A conqueror is one that has ran the course of the battle. When a smoky battlefield clears, that's when the conqueror will lift up his hand. But see, this celebration right here that we're talking about, sometimes when you win or you're victorious, people throw up their hands. But see, this is a celebration that causes, or there's no need for you to run around and say, I won, I won, I won. But to know that God in his infinite power has done what he has done for us and is holding fast and has allowed us to make it through these tribulations, these trying times. That's what a reward is. That's the end of the race. But God is letting each and every last one of us know, do not faint. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't withdraw, because the race isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but he that endureth unto the end. Now, I hope that this lesson is a benefit to us. My brothers and my sisters, we're going to be faced with something. And sometimes we're not going to have a full understanding of what's happening. But hang in there. Don't give up. And I'm going to conclude by saying that Brother Paul, over in 2 Timothy 4:7, and this is what I would like to say at the end of my journey here, at the end of my race. Brother Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. So if you finished the course that God set you on, then your possibilities are great. Pace yourself, my brothers and my sisters, because things are coming at us so hard and so fast, and we don't know when one thing go bad, look like two more on the other side go bad. Just like the little boy that stuck his hand in the dike every way, put his finger, it was another hole. But I'm going to conclude by saying that the race is not to the swift nor the strong, but he that endureth to the end. This brings tonight's lesson to a standstill. May God bless you and may ever keep you. Amen. Now I'll turn you back over in the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, for another powerful, awesome, much-needed word for such a time as this. People of God are fainting. They're giving up, and that's what the enemy wants to do. And it all goes back to, I'm reminded of this gospel stage play that the Lord has anointed my sister to write, Opposite Ends of the Bridge. And that's what these two were doing. They was about to give up on each other. But God, he can intervene. And when we have a notion, we have that unction and our minds made up that we're not going to give up, no matter what's going on, no matter what people say about us or how people look at us when we're trying to do God's will, and when we're trying to fulfill our God purpose, because these things are going to happen, just like they did Jesus. He came with a purpose of for good, of love and compassion toward all men, to save us from our sins through the shedding of his blood. But look how they treated him. And just like the word of God tells us, and also Jesus warns us, and also the disciples warns us, that they did it to them, they did it to Jesus. And if you are a lover of Jesus Christ, you're not exempt. You're going to be tried and tested too. But whatever you do, don't give up on God, because guess what? God would never give up on you. And that's what I love about God. We turn our back on God. Sometimes we even walk away from God. He still loves us just the same. Again, he do not love our sin, but he loves us individually. Now, one by one, then as a corporate body of believers, he loves us. He cherishes us. So that's why he don't give up on us. So we can't give up on him. We cannot give up on our God purpose that he has ordained for us from the foundation of the world to fulfill our God purpose. So when we don't give up, we are able to fulfill our God purpose, that God will be glorified through us. So we thank God for this message on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox, and I pray that you were blessed by it. I know I was. So right now we're getting ready to close out tonight's program, tonight's Bible lesson tonight, and also we're getting ready to close out tonight's program. So we're just going to close out in prayer, giving God praise and glory because he's worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to say for your word on tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness, your awesomeness. We thank you that you're still watching over your word even today to perform it in the lives of your saints that are being doers of your word without hidden motives or agendas. Thank you that you're not like man. You know who is being a doer of your word without hidden motives or agendas. You search our hearts, and I just love you, Lord. We love you. We just thank you. We bless your name on tonight. So we just give your name praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will continue to allow each one of us individually and then as a corporate body to fulfill our God purpose and help us never to give up, to fulfill our God purpose and to run our Christian race, and that we too can say like Paul, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith, I fought a good fight. And so that's what we want to hear you say unto us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So we can hear that when we don't give up. So we lean it on you, Heavenly Father, to help us to make it through so that we don't give up. So we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And we know that all power is still in his name. And we know that he has never lost his power and that the blood of Jesus still works and it would never, never fail. So we just bless your name on tonight, Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would continue to have your way in our lives, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said amen. Well, tonight, know that God loves you. I love you also. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Continue to give God praise because he is worthy. Until the next time, good night.
Good night.
Holy Lamb.